The Lord be with you and with your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be enrolled, each to his own town. And Joseph too went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were shepherds in that region living in the fields and keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ and Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
The Gospel of the Lord.
On behalf of Father O'Hare and Father Thompson and Father Luke, and in my own name, I want to wish each of you a very blessed and Merry Christmas and all the blessings of this holy season. Today's gospel, taken from St. Luke's second chapter, is significant not only because it tells the Christmas story, but it tells the Christmas story from the perspective of an evangelist, the only one of the four evangelists who are speaking as a Gentile convert to Catholicism. And you have to understand St. Luke's background. St. Luke grew up in a Hellenistic household, that is, a household that was steeped in Greek wisdom and literature and philosophy. He was conversant in Latin as well, and probably knew a little bit of Hebrew along the way. But St. Luke was not a Jew. He was a Gentile convert to the faith. And you have to understand that St. Luke's entire life experience in regards to God was steeped deeply in Greek and Roman mythology, which, as you know, is polytheistic. It seemed like the Greeks and the Romans wanted to make sure they had all their bases covered, so they had different gods for different reasons. Kind of reminds me when you remember the comedian Joan Rivers, when her last of many husbands was dying. He said to her, "Joan," and by the way, they're Jewish. He says, "Joan, get a priest, I'm dying." Joan says, "Merv, we're Jewish." He says, "Just in case they're right." So the Greeks and the Romans had this system down where they had all of this all worked out, and they would try to manipulate and curry the favor of the gods. But Luke is having none of it, because he has discovered in Jesus of Nazareth the God-man, God become man in the person of his son, our Lord. And you notice at the very beginning of the gospel that he puts these details. The first enrollment while Caesar Augustus was emperor of the Roman Empire during what's called the Pax Romana. Luke even goes to mention that the governor of Syria was Quirinius, someone who is actually a historical figure. What Luke's trying to do here is he's trying to take us out of the world of mythology, which is what the Greeks and the Romans believed about God. These are mostly mythical characters. And Luke is saying, no, I am talking about a real historical person who lived in real historical times. And even listen to this document, which, by the way, dates to the first century. This can be proclaimed at the beginning of this very Mass. This is called the Christmas proclamation from the apostolic tradition. It dates back to the first century. Listen to these precise terms. The 25th day of December, when ages beyond number had run their course in the creation of the world, when God in the beginning created heaven and earth and formed man in his own likeness, when century upon century had passed since the Almighty set his bow in the clouds after the great flood as a sign of covenant and peace. In the 21st century, since Abraham, our father in faith, came out of Ur or the Chaldees, that's Iraq. In the 13th century, since the people of Israel were led by Moses in the Exodus from Egypt. Around the 1,000th year, since David was anointed king. In the 65th week of the prophecy of Daniel, in the 194th Olympiad, that's right, the Olympic Games. In the year 752, since the foundation of the city of Rome, in the 42nd year of the reign of Caesar Octavian Augustus, the whole world being at peace, Jesus Christ, eternal God and Son of the eternal Father, desiring to consecrate the world by his most loving presence, was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and when 9 months had passed since his conception, was born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem of Judah and was made man. Tonight is the Nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ according to the flesh. We've been reading these words, brothers and sisters, for over 1900 years. This is to show, as Luke is trying to make the point in tonight's gospel, we're not talking about a mythical figure. We're not talking about a fable or a legend. We're talking about real persons, real history in time and in space. And yet, there are still even more remarkable things about his account, which are his way of depicting to us the uniqueness of our Lord's birth, not only the particular time and place in which they occurred, but even, for instance, details such as the Blessed Mother wrapped the Lord in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. For all of you women who have given birth, you usually have a midwife or a nurse or someone who will assist you in this matter. The Blessed Mother did it herself. Now, it's very unusual, especially since the Blessed Mother had no anesthetics. Guess what? She didn't need any, because she gives birth as Virgin Mother without the pangs of birth pains. This is one of the doctrines of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the Catholic faith, that she's virgin before and after the birth of Christ and even in the act of birthing him. In fact, the Blessed Mother is believed that the prayers that we are going to hear in just a few minutes brought forth the Savior of the world, perhaps suggesting that she did not give birth to him in the normal manner. And even if he did pass through the birth canal, she would not have felt any pain. Those pangs would have been delayed until our Lord died at Calvary. She gives birth to the church mystically. And then there's these shepherds in the fields. You know, we take for granted a very romanticized view of shepherds, but the reality is shepherds were not good men. They were bad dudes, certifiably bad dudes. Shepherds were among the most unsavory people in Jesus's time. In fact, the idea of a good shepherd, which our Lord ascribes to himself, would have been quite a paradox, almost as paradoxical as a good Samaritan. For the Jews, the only good Samaritan was a dead one. So what about these shepherds? They were keeping watch in the fields, which would have been unusual for them. Typically, what shepherds did at dusk is they took all of their sheep and shoved them in caves, penned them in. One would keep watch to prevent theft, and the rest of them would go into town to get drunk. That's what shepherds did. Luke is mystified that he's actually seeing shepherds doing their job in the middle of the fields in the middle of the night, something that would have been very unusual. Again, so many unique circumstances surrounding the Christmas story. To close, we may want to consider this simple reality. We all live in times where, because of a desire for uber inclusivity, we are dissuaded from greeting each other in the public sphere, Merry Christmas. I hear all kinds of things beyond happy holidays, warm winter wishes, to amongst many things. But you see, this is precisely why believers need to be a little bit more forthright about answering the greeting Happy Holidays with Merry Christmas. For one, you could take the legal angle. It is actually the federal holiday tomorrow, Christmas Day. It's not Kwanzaa, it's not Hanukkah. It's not anything else but Christmas. And we should not shy away from the reality of this bold claim that we have made for 2025 years, that God, who has no need of us, in his great mercy, came amongst us in all things but sin in the person of his Son for one reason and one reason only, to suffer and die for our sins. It's why we don't cover the crucifix on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, because this is still the culmination of his work on earth. We were all born to live forever. Jesus was born to die for us. And God had no need to do this except for his great love, which we could never, ever repay him enough for. This is what we call the love beyond all telling with which the Blessed Mother loved Jesus, her Son. So to close, as we embolden ourselves to reply Merry Christmas in this time of political correctness, it's worth perhaps remembering exactly what we're celebrating tonight, the great paradoxes surrounding our Lord's birth. And I'll close this evening with a poem that's often read at this time of year called One Solitary Life. If you know it, it's always worth hearing again as we hear all of our Christmas carols and hymns at this time of year. And if you don't, perhaps it will give you some greater and deeper insight into the difference Christ has made in our world forever. The author writes, "He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another obscure village where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. He never wrote a book. He never held public office. He never went to college. He never visited a big city. He never traveled more than 200 miles from the place where he was born. He did none of the things usually associated with greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 33 when his friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves, and while dying, his executioners gambled for his clothing, the only property he had on earth. And when he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 19 centuries have come and gone, and today he is the central figure of the human race, the leader of mankind's progress. All the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that have ever sailed, all the parliaments that have ever sat, all the kings that have ever reigned put together have not affected the life of mankind on earth as powerful as this one solitary life." Brothers and sisters, during this Christmas season, let us draw close to the Christ child, vulnerable, poor, and harmless, approachable, lovable, and huggable. Let us approach him with adoration in awe. The Virgin Mary's Son is born to us, the Savior of the world.